Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 115 again, please. Psalm 115, and I want to preach from the same text this morning that we preached from this past Wednesday night. Now, tonight I would like to encourage you to come back to service. I'm going to be preaching on the subject tonight. We've got a new song to practice. That'll be tonight. So I trust you get back this evening to our service. Psalm 115 and verse number 15. I preached this past Wednesday night on the subject, the blessings of God. And I'd like to come back to that truth today. Preach on that same line of thought today. Psalm 115, verse number 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Also, I would quote Proverbs 10:22 that says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. But again, our text today, ye are blessed of the Lord. I want to preach today on the blessings of God. Shall we bow in prayer? Our Father, this morning we thank you for the service that we've already enjoyed, and we've been blessed by being here. The music that has been sung, the good Sunday school hour, and now, our Father, as we open the Bible and consider what you have for us, may our minds be clear, may our hearts be tender and open, and may the message of God today be received by every single one of us. Speak to hearts today of whatever needs there might be in everyone's life. I pray it will be met. Someone here that does not know the loving Savior, may this be their day of salvation. And bless us all, and may the people of God today, may all of us who are saved, may we go out of this building today, be more mindful than ever of the blessings of God that we enjoy. Bless now the service, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I think about the blessings of God, I think of a little boy's illustration of an elevator. He'd never been on an elevator before, and he got on an elevator, and someone was asking him about what he thought of the elevator, and the little boy said, he said, I got into this little room, and he said the upstairs came down. And when we think of what God has done, when we think of the blessings of the Lord, we truly can know that the blessings of God, the elevator has come down. God's blessings have come down upon us. I heard of another story of a little boy that went to a went with his mother to a store, to a little local store, and the kind man there behind the counter had a jar of suckers. And as that little boy told him, he said, reach in your hand, son. And he said, take out a handful of suckers. And that little boy refused. He refused to do that. So the man just reached down in the jar himself and pulled out a handful of suckers and gave it to the little boy. And his mother asked him later on, she said, well, son, why did you not reach your own hand in that jar and take some suckers? The little boy said, I knew that his hands were bigger than mine. And you know, that is exactly how it is. God's hand is bigger than ours. I believe this morning. I believe that the improper focus on life is one of the biggest joy robbers there is. When we do not have a proper focus on life, if the focus of our life is upon the burdens of life rather than the blessings of God, we can expect a mournful outcome. We need today, as God's people, we need to rise to the occasion. We need to come out of the situation. We need to ponder less the burdens of life and ponder more the blessings of life. You know, it's possible today to be rich and sad if riches are simply earthly. I can understand that. If a person's possessions are simply earthly based, or focused upon this life, I can understand why so many people today are sad and distraught. But I'll tell you something, in the case of a child of God, though, since the upstairs has come down, I believe it's time today that God's people wake up, rejoice more, let it show more on their countenance, and just be thankful to God for what God has done for us. I'll tell you, I still cannot get over of the blessings of God when I look back and think about how good God has been. And oh yes, there are times we all feel like sticking our harps up in the willows. But I think today we need to take our harps out of the willows and we need to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And I believe if we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, possibly people in that strange land might see what we have is real. And they might want to get saved. The elevator has come down. Every good, in fact, I can prove that in Scripture. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James chapter 1, verse number 17. I was reminded this past week of the blessings of God and the effect of the realization of those blessings in a meeting that I attended in a meeting up in North Carolina Mountains this past week. When I was there this past week, I witnessed an old-time church service that included some old-time amening, some old-time shouting, some old time weeping and joy among the people of God. If I didn't get anything else out of that service, I come out of that service last week being reminded of the fact that God's people need to come alive. God's people need to wake up. God's people need to spend more time counting their blessings. God's people need to be exuberant, excited, and rejoicing in what God has done. We need more of that. And if we're not careful, we can slide into some kind of a state, even within our church, to where we look like miserable people. God help us today to get us out of our misery. And to realize today that the people of God have eternal life. We have the life of God going through our veins. We have something today to be happy about. And it's time today we get happy again. That's my major thrust. I thought of the effect of an outward expression of joy in the service. And here's something that I can still remember. I remember a person who visited a church and made a comment after they had visited that church. They made the comment that the people in that church just looked sad. And they didn't smile. And then that person in that comment said, "I don't think I'd be happy going there." And I have never forgotten that. That goes a long way. Do you know that when people come to a church, they like to feel like they're in a church, not in a funeral home. When they come to church, they like to know that the church they're attending is made up of happy people. People that know how to smile. People that have some joy. People that show that joy in not only how they act and react, but even when they sing. I was listening to a group singing recently, and that group was singing a song that had to do with us smiling. There's only one thing that I noticed negatively. Not a single person in that group smiled. They were singing about smiling, but they weren't smiling. Now here's a little jab today, or a little challenge, that I want to pass on to every singer in this church. When you get up and sing as an individual, when you get up and sing as a trio, when you get up and sing as a quartet, and when the choir gets up and sings, When you sing, you think about what you're singing. And put a smile on your face. And look like you're happy because of what that song says. You know, it catches on. When you're around people that just smile and have that kind of radiance, it catches on. It really rubs off on you. You just can't get over it. And so today I'm simply saying this. I know this. I understand how human nature is. I understand we get fixed in a certain way and you can't shake us out of it. I understand the logic people say, I'm a melancholy person. Then people say, I've always been this way. Then people say, I've always smiled in my heart. Then people talk about the joy. I'm saved today. Ask Almighty God to somehow shake up your cart just a little bit and change you around a little bit. It does not hurt to come to church happy. It does not hurt to come to church and say amen. It doesn't hurt to come to church and shout. It doesn't hurt to come to church and wave your hand. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. It doesn't hurt to come to the altar and pray. It doesn't hurt to come to the altar and weep. It doesn't hurt to come forward sometimes and say just hallelujah, God's been good to me. Get out of that old Baptist rut. And start acting like you enjoy serving God. We're blessed of the Lord. We're blessed of the Lord on the basis of how we're blessed. On the basis of how we're blessed. If you're saved, you're no longer rebel. You're no longer fugitive from justice. You're no longer a criminal in jail. You're no longer a jailbird in the prison of sin. You're no longer under the bondage of sin. You've been blessed with the highest order of blessings. You've been brought out of the slave market of sin. You've had the shackles dropped off. You've been liberated in your soul. You're no longer fighting against God. Now you love God. You no longer are running from God. You're running with Him now. We're blessed on the basis of how we're blessed. We're blessed with blessings like the elevator has dropped down. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. We're blessed with a beloved Savior. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We have the beloved Savior. He is the unspeakable gift Himself. This is not just talking about, this is not saying thanks be to God for the unspeakable gifts He gives us. This is saying thanks be to God because He is the unspeakable gift. He is the gift. We're blessed because we know the giver. We're blessed because we know the person of Christ. We're blessed in the person of God. It's not necessarily we're blessed because He's given us things. No, we're blessed because He's given us Himself. And that's the greatest blessing. We're blessed now with the ability to think straight. To think straight. Before we get saved, we can't even think straight. Our mind is not clear. Our logic is not right. We're confused. We don't know what to believe sometimes. We just don't think right. But when God saves a person, He gives our mind now the ability to think right. He blesses us with the ability to discern, to know things that matter the most, to realize what life is all about, to know what really matters. I'm saying today, we're blessed with the ability to think straight. I'm thankful to God today that I can think straight. Now, some people might say, are you sure about that preacher? Sometimes Carol don't agree with that. When she calls me stupid. But you know what? I can back up what I said, though. Not the stupid part. I can back up with what I say with Scripture, though. The Bible says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And you know all things. Now, that's just what some of y'all needed to hear right now. Me telling you that you know everything. I couldn't have made you happier, could it? But you know what, though? One of the best commentaries on the Bible is the Bible. If you don't know what that verse is talking about, that means when God saves a person, He gives us the ability to discern, to know what error is. To know those false teachers. To know those people that are false prophets. So that's talking about our ability to discern now. We know all things in a sense that we can know now. When the error comes our way, we can know when we hear false doctrine. We can know when something's not right. That is a blessing from God to be able to think right. To think straight. To have our head screwed on right. To be able to have some good old sanctified common sense for change. Before I got saved, I used to believe everything I heard, plus more. And I used to simply want to just hobnob around with people that I felt comfortable with because their lifestyle and mine were the same. And I allowed myself to be brainwashed into thinking that the thinking according to this world was right. But when God saved me, He shook me up. He awakened me. He gave me mental clarity. I could see then, for the first time, that the way of the transgressor is hard. I can see for the first time there is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. I could see that I had been walking that broad road that leads to destruction. And when God opened up my eyes in salvation, I saw for the first time that I was on that blessed road now. And I could see clearly. You know, we're blessed because we can think straight. That's a blessing from God. We're blessed because we have the best seat. The best seat. Let me illustrate it this way. The recent Super Bowl in Miami, Florida, cheapest price of a seat was $5,727, and the most expensive seat was a whopping $70,000, $153. Imagine that, paying $70,000 plus for a seat in the Super Bowl, and you're sitting there, you had to have more money than sense to start with to pay that, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. You're sitting there, you're watching the same game, you may have had more difficulty seeing it now if you'd been in a different seat, but the game's going to go the same way regardless of where you're seated. And a certain team's going to win. And to show you how important it was, right now, I'm drawing a little bit of a blank. I don't remember who won. You can tell I was impressed. I'm about as impressed as I was the time that we were having a service in this church. And Randy Travis came and attended the service. And Randy Travis sang Amazing Grace. And then Randy Travis went out to the cemetery, and I did my typical preacher thing, walking around shaking hands, and I said, good to see you today, Brother Larry. Tell you one thing, that took Randy Travis down a notch, didn't it? But I'm talking about now the Christian. We have the best seat. We have the best seat. You're saying now, where are you going with this? Well, I'm going right to Scripture with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have the best seat. You can't get any higher than sitting in heaven. And since Jesus is seated in heaven, then since I'm seated with Him, that means that in a spiritual sense, I have a good seat this morning. I might be standing here at Smith Grove Baptist Church preaching to you, a church located on Sandy Ridge Road, but while I'm preaching to you, while I'm here in the body, preaching in this church, spiritually, I'm seated on high. I'm in Christ this morning, just like every one of you. We are blessed today to have that good seat. We're blessed today to be seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I could preach for the rest of my life, literally, and never run out of anything new to say, and take Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and use that as my text for the rest of my life, and I'd still never totally exhaust it. Some people, they say the preacher's preaching the same sermon again. A lot of times they say that because he's preaching from the same text again. Well, that's okay. Because actually, that's what preachers do anyway. We're always preaching the same text over and over. But yet at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God has a way of taking that old text and making it new every time. We're blessed to have a good seating. We're blessed to have an attitude change towards God too. We're blessed to have an attitude change. I mean an attitude change. Just to have a good attitude. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is a man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Psalm 112, verse 1. He said, blessed is a man that feareth the Lord. We're blessed to have a good attitude change. We're blessed to be able to fear the Lord. We're blessed to be able to love the Lord. We're blessed to be able to have a good attitude towards who God is. We're blessed to be in Christ. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So I'm saying to you today, beloved, we're blessed on the basis of how we're blessed. Of how we're blessed. Some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not too blessed on the basis of how I'm blessed. I don't have as much money as someone else, or I don't have as much money as I would like. Or my health hasn't been too good lately. Or the doctor didn't tell me what I wanted to hear this past week. And I don't like what I've been having to go through physically. I don't know how I've been blessed that much. If we equate the blessings of life and the blessings of God with the things that are in our possession, that we can touch with our hands, that we can look upon with our eyes, and they're just simply material in relation or in context, then we are sad people. Because I'll tell you something. I don't care how godly we might be, we still are prone to get sick, lose our health, get bad health, wind up in the hospital. The stock market could crash. The economy could go south. A number of things could happen to us economically, physically, and socially. So if we think that's the only standard of gauging our blessings, then I'll tell you something. We need to study a little bit more, pray a little bit more, and be more discerning about what really constitutes real blessings. That's why we preach this morning. We're blessed because of how we've been blessed. And the how has relationship to the spiritual things that God's done. That's the how I'm talking about. I mean, what would you say? Would you say that a guy like David Brainerd, missionary, 19th century, David Brainerd, went to a mission field? I think David Brainerd was in his 20s. I'm not sure. I think he was. David Brainerd literally burned out for Christ. David Brainerd lost his health on the mission field. And David Brainerd died on a mission field as a young man. For those who say we're blessed because of what we have or don't have physically and materially, they're missing the point. I wouldn't stand here in a thousand years and say that David Brainerd wasn't blessed. David Brainerd had the favor of God upon his life. David Brainerd had the power of God. David Brainerd won many to Christ. David Brainerd was a choice servant of Christ. And he was blessed. We're blessed not only on the basis of how we're blessed. We're blessed on the basis of who has blessed us. Who has blessed us? Consider the author of our blessings. Our blessings come from God Himself. The author of our blessing made heaven and earth. You know, it's pretty important sometimes that we get pictures taken with important celebrities. Sometimes a handshake from the president. Sometimes a letter sent from a political person. Important people. We value blessings from important people. Famous people. Like one time, Carol and Dolores had their picture taken with Debbie Reynolds. I look at that picture in my office all the time. But imagine this. The blessings of the Creator. The blessings coming from God Himself. From Almighty God. He's unlimited in His power. He brought light out of darkness. He brought order out of chaos. Consider how He brings light into a life that's been darkened by sin. Consider how He brings order into a life that's been made turbulent because of sin. When I consider His might in creation, I'm convinced that nothing stands in His way in caring for the crown of the creation. He's unmatched in wisdom. Think of His infinite wisdom in creating and in designing the physical universe. He who keeps this earth on track as it revolves around the sun and sustains life will surely pilot our life over tempestuous seas. Since He takes care and guides the planets and holds the stars in space, and brings the moon around, revolving around the sun, and brings the earth revolving around the sun. When He can do that, He can keep me on track. Since He controls, sustains physical universe, I know He can take care of me. He is unmatched in His wisdom. He is unmoved in His faithfulness to His own. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. And then the Bible says when He had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He spoke and the waves became still. He spoke and a dead person by the name of Lazarus came out of a tomb. The one who holds the world in a hollow of His hand will surely hold His own blood-washed ones in His hand. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Isn't that a blessing? He involved Himself more in the redemption of one sinner than in all creation put together. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed on the basis of how we're blessed. We're based on the blessing, on the basis of who blessed us. And then finally today, we're blessed on the basis of when we're blessed. When we're blessed. Psalm 115, verse 15. Ye, what's the next word? Are blessed. ye are blessed. That's right now. We can say, He blessed us yesterday, and He did. We can say, He'll bless me tomorrow, and He will. But He blesses us now. It says, are blessed. Are blessed. Since we're blessed now, that means we ought to praise and bless the Lord now. Since He currently blesses us, then we ought to bless His holy name. We need a sense of present blessing. Too many talk of what God once did. Some people, you'd think that the only book they have is the book of memory. All they can talk about is the way it used to be. How it used to be. You know, the more you read the Bible, the more you find that the Bible is fine-tuned to the present. To what, who we are right now, what we need right now, and what God does for us right now. He blessed us tremendously yesterday, but I say today, today, on this first day of March, He's blessing us right now. In fact, every one of you today, you're blessed more than you realize, and so am I. And I'm going to challenge you right now, look like you are blessed. Look like it. Do you think that a mark of spirituality is solemnness, sadness, seriousness all the time on your faces? Rethink that. Study Psalms a little bit more. The way I look at it, who made us? God, right? How did God make us? Well, that could require a lot of thought, couldn't it? Well, it was very simple. He who spoke this world into existence, He made man after His own image. Well, how did He make us as far as our makeup is concerned? As far as our personalities? As far as the abilities we have? Human beings, unlike animals, can do a lot of things animals can't do. We can smile. We can worship God. We can shed tears. We can show grief. And most of the time people think, yeah, I know God made me because I do show a lot of grief. He also made us with the ability to smile. You might think I'm on a broken record today. Well, maybe I am a little bit. But I think our church needs what I'm preaching on. I think today we need to crank up the joy bells in our church more. And learn to smile more. And rejoice more. Some of you that used to raise your hands in a service, get back to doing it again. Some of you that used to say, praise the Lord, you need to do it again. Some of you that used to say, amen, what's wrong in saying that again? I know it's not wrong because it's the Bible. And by the way, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I believe God wants His people to be happy, to be joyful, and to show it because He made us with the ability to show it. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. We need to take our harps out of the willows, sing the Lord's song in a strange land, like I said earlier. I have a question. If you were a visitor looking for a church, and you looked around at solemn, sad, and unhappy looking people, would you want to come back? You say, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. You may say, you don't know what I'm going through and it's my nature to look depressed. No, but I know who you know if you're saved. And I know that you've been blessed if you're saved. And I know that you have victory if you're saved. And I know that you don't have to look like a mule eating briars if you're saved. You need to come to church thinking about how your blessings have been bestowed upon you and let it show on your face. A child one day was taken to a pet shop. And the mama gave the child a choice on which little dog to buy. And they walked outside the pet store and the mama said, "Son, have you decided what dog you want?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I want the one with a happy tail." We've been blessed of God this morning. And I think a good place to deal with it is an altar. If you've been sad and forlorn and counting your crosses, start counting your blessings. And be willing to do something maybe you've never done before. And visit this old-fashioned altar. And say, "God, that joy of salvation, I want it to not only be real, but I want it to be realized. And I want, when people come to my church, I want them to look at me and say, 'Now right there is a Christian for you.' Look at how happy they are." Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven.